sins, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But at the Last Supper, after he took the bread of the Passover and the cup of blessing, he pronounced, "This is my body, and this is my blood. Do this in memory of me." And following that direct command, the Church has been deeply committed to celebrating that Holy Eucharist, to acknowledging the presence of Jesus Christ, and to give thanks for him. There were also two promises that our Lord gave to us as he gave us those direct commands. The first was the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, who would remind us of all that our Lord taught us and would bring us to all truth. And the second promise, again, that he gave just before his ascension into heaven, that he would be with us until the end of all ages. And in those two promises, we find really the basis of our Eucharistic adoration and worship, our thanksgiving, and our wonderful sense of prayer and sense of presence. For our Lord is with us. We are all on a journey. We are on a pilgrimage of grace, rejoicing that our Lord is present to us as companion as well as Lord. And in the Eucharist, that presence is assured day by day, Sunday by Sunday. And that food that is given to us is a food for the journey. It is the bread of angels, it is heavenly manna, but it is also nourishment for body and soul. As we continue through this life within this world, realizing that our destiny stretches far beyond this world, stretching into eternity. But here and now, we are nourished by that Holy Eucharist, by that precious body and blood of Jesus Christ, that our spiritual health be assured, that our bodily existence be a support for our destiny, for the work that we are to do. For the Eucharist is the center of Catholic life. It is a profound act of thanksgiving for all the gifts that God has given us. It is a reminder of the supreme sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Christ made for us on Calvary, a sacrifice that bore such profound fruit in the resurrection. And in the Eucharist we find the act of authentic worship offered to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit.
Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? There were three people who walked by a man in need and only one stopped to help. Perhaps the two who didn't help thought to themselves, "I'm sure somebody else will do it." If you've been listening to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 and expecting somebody else to carry the load, we want to encourage you to join us with your support. The amount is not important, but your participation is important. Call 614-459-4820 or stgabrielradio.com.
WVSG Columbus, Ohio. Statewide, this is the home for listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820.
Welcome back to the Fall Spirit Drive here at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm going to be sitting in as the guest host for the next couple hours. I'm Patrick Schroyer. I'm out at Miraculous Metal, Father Coleman, that little parish out east side. I've been involved, many of you guys have been involved in the Catholic Renewal for years. You've seen my face around singing and praising the Lord. And our guest is Father Kevin Lutz.
Hello.
Welcome.
Glad to be with you all. I'm a classmate of Father Coleman.
That's right.
High school and college together.
Father Pandolfi, too, as I recall,
yes.
Right? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I love him. All right, we're going to ask you, Father, if you would start us with a prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, guide us and guard us now and always. Inspire this message and inspire the listeners. Let this be an occasion of grace always to make known your name, your kingdom, and your salvation through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. All right. We only do this a couple times a year, right? Once in the spring and once in the fall. It's the opportunity for all of us to support the ongoing ministry here at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. And if you've been sitting there waiting for that number, I won't give it to you. So you don't have to wait any longer. Okay, here it comes. 614-459-4820. Just so you know, the goal for this this hour is 14 gifts. We are looking for 6 sustaining members, and a sustaining member is $20 a month or more. And then one leadership gift. The leadership gift is $1,000 or more. And again, as you think about this, you put your time, you put your money in the things that are dearest to you. And one of the things that needs to be at the top of the list is your faith. Mm-hmm. And we can't do everything. But thank God we've got a instrument like St. Gabriel Catholic Radio that reaches almost all the counties, as I recall. 88 counties in Ohio, and I know it reaches way out to 8 Ohio is part of it. And thankful they got this World Wide Web, which, as I understand it, reaches the world. So anyone, anywhere can be part of this. So, Father, now you're at St. Mary's down at German Village, right?
Yes.
And update us. There's a lot going on down at St. Mary's
German
Village.
There's a lot going on. The church right now is closed, but we're worshiping very happily in the gym. People are putting up with an awful lot and tolerating it very well. The plan is we've done phase one. We're now in phase two, and we're looking at a couple of options regarding the stability of the building. And we're very close to getting that finalized. The drawings will be done, and then we start the work. And then finally, the most costly part will be putting back the plaster ceiling mm-hmm. and the decorations that go on it. That's part of what was the big draw to St. Mary's in German Village was the incredible painting on the ceiling and the back wall.
Yeah.
The back wall is still intact. We had to cover it up to protect it, but the ceiling, unfortunately, was a total loss because of the severe cracking that ran all through it. Big pieces falling down, and when you were up there close, I got up on the scaffolding to look at it. It looked like, you know, a road map. There were just cracks
really?
Everywhere, and you could stick your fingers in the cracks. Some of them were so big.
Wow.
Down from the floor, they hardly showed at all.
Hmm. Yeah, I'd had to put my glasses on to even see the ceiling and the cracks. What else do you do? There's something else that you're known for around
well,
this.
Well, the museum would be another thing.
That's
Sean
right.
was just on in the last half hour.
I just heard it. Yeah, he was talking about that, right?
I just came from the museum. I had lunch. A family, their child died at Children's Hospital when I was chaplain there back in the late 80s, early 90s, and their little boy died 2 years old from cancer. And they looked me up and found me, and they're on their way to Cincinnati right now. They might even be listening. And if they are, hello, Paul, hello, Martha. They're sweet people, but they wanted to come by, and they were just blown away by the museum. So most people, when they hear of a church museum, are waiting to see 20 broken candlesticks and 20 pictures of dead pastors. We don't have any of that. We've got some pretty cool stuff there.
Yeah. Well, it was terrific. Okay, it's Fall Spirit Drive. I want to get back to that. And being a pastor, you've got to have feedback from some of your parishioners. You've got to see the infamous bumper sticker.
I tell you, I watch for that bumper sticker, and I see it all over the place, and I almost feel like I'm at a St. Gabriel Radio Festival or something. I don't know if you could find anything in the city of Columbus that you'll see as frequently as that. Even Go Bucks does not seem to equal the number of bumper stickers.
It means you're in the right places.
It is, you know, but don't drive too close trying to say, is that 820 or not? No, just presume it might be and keep a safe distance.
Yeah, I love it. I call it the best driving behavior modification because you don't get road rage. You can't pull somebody off. When you're where I'm driving, I've got this. Follow the rules. Do the best thing. Just bless people. Wave at them. You know, just do the right things. So, yeah, as a matter of fact, you still welcome visitors here. If you've never been by this beautiful facility, especially the chapel, the new chapel, You should come by St. Gabriel Radio and stop in and visit and pick up a couple of these bumper stickers or bumper magnets, but certainly visit and see the good work that they do here at St. Gabriel Radio and the effort that it takes to get quality Catholic programming on the air. So, again, part of the Fall Spirit Drive, I'm your guest host, Patrick Schroyer, 614-459-4820, and we are already for our first angel update and our angel updater.
Hello, my name is Meg Heller. I'm from St. Michael Parish here in Columbus, and I have a couple updates for you so far here. We have Jeffrey, who gave us a one-time gift, and Jeffrey's from St. Michael as well, so thank you very much, Jeffrey, for your one-time gift. I also want to thank Jeffrey and Jane from St. Bridget Parish for their one-time gift. Again, these gifts help support this radio station here, and no gift is too small. So if you are considering whether or not you should donate that $5 you have in your pocket, please just, if you feel inspired, please give us a call here at 614-459-4820. Again, that number is 614-459-4820. Thank you.
If I can throw in a quick word here, about a year or two ago, I had a friend who was really having financial problems, and I was trying to help him get back on track, but his spending was out of control. So I said, print out, let me see. Well, I looked at his spending. I thought, the galloping gourmet does not eat out as much as you do. He had sometimes 5 to 7 stops. He's one of these guys with a racing metabolism. You know, he can eat everything he wants and stays thin. But it was unbelievable to see how many times he stopped for food. And, you know, $2 here, $4 there. Even a lot of it was even fast food and junk or coffee at Starbucks and places like that where things can be a little pricey. And on the other hand, he was just like in a day spending a fortune on food. And I thought, 1/10 of that alone would be a great gift to St. Gabriel Radio. You know, sometimes we think, well, those are necessities, but I wonder if you look at your schedule, and I look at my own bill when it comes every month, and I go, oh, gee, I ate out a lot this month. I shouldn't have done that much. You know, the cost of one good meal out sometimes would make a phenomenal difference here.
Yes, it would.
So, you know, think of in terms of a happy meal or, you know, what you might pay for a buffet sometime, and consider that as a numbered as a starting point.
Yeah, amen. Hey, we're going to go to one of the, we're talking about the great programming there, what they have here. We're going to have Dennis McNamara from Catholic Answers, and I believe this was on Catholic architecture.
Catholic Church architecture is, what is, I guess to put it this way, I mean, it has so many different forms, but what is the thing that it's meant to achieve? At its very best, what is it meant to achieve?
Well, Catholic Church architecture and the art that goes with it, it should really be thought of in the way we think of the sacraments. Not so much that they give grace like the sacraments, but they're a way to encounter the things of our own heavenly future. And so when you go into a church that's beautiful, ordered, perfected, radiant, filled with color, stained glass, heavenly beings, images of angels, saints, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, these are all things that we hope to encounter someday, primarily, you know, face-to-face with God. But since we're not there yet, we can either sit in a room and wonder what it'll be like someday, or you can go to a beautiful church and actually encounter it in the form of matter. And that's the great thing about Catholic theology, is that we don't deny the goodness of creation. In fact, we use it to reveal God.
It's the way you just answered that question raises immediately for me, well, that seems to argue against modern architecture in churches because of the minimalism of a great deal of modern architecture, the bareness of it, the lack of the use of images. Am I correct to say that?
Yeah, well, you know, I like to distinguish between small M modern and big M modernism. Modernism as an architectural movement in the 20th century was deeply rooted in philosophy that was kind of hostile to Catholicism. It distrusted matter, it distrusted the form, it distrusted the image. And so they were going for a kind of minimalist understanding of the maximum architecture with the minimal amount of matter. In the Catholic tradition, though, we believe that matter is how God reveals himself to us. Jesus, his own body was made of matter, calcium and carbon and water and all the things are made of, and yet he revealed the Father to us. And so it does require ornament, enrichment, color, image, and intellectual content in order to encounter what you need to encounter. It's sort of saying, well, we don't believe in letters anymore, so we'll just make books with blank pages, and that's what we do in the modern world. Well, you're not going to convey much information. No one's going to encounter the mysteries of Christ through a book full of blank pages.
So then why don't we just build churches that that mimic the churches, say, of the Middle Ages? That these were magnificent churches. Why do we need something different than that?
Well, you know, the foundational theology of every church is that a church building is the image of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, and so we're all members of that body. And when you look at a brick or a stone or a floor tile or a wooden beam, you can sort of imagine, oh, that brick's Uncle Charlie and that beam's Aunt Martha and that angel at the top of the tower is part of the mystical body too. But in different times and places, architecture looks different. And so there's not one perfect church you put on the photocopier and make all over the world, because the German cultural tradition emphasizes something that some other country doesn't emphasize, and American architectural tradition emphasizes something else. And so you can have an infinite number of beautiful churches, as long as they're all churches. It's when you start to think of a church as a meeting hall or a big house or something, then they start to fail because they're not churches. They've gone into something else, just like a dog that looks like a cat is a pretty okay cat, but it's not a very good dog. A church that's seen as a meeting hall is a deficient church, even though it might be good as a meeting hall.
So this kind of hyper functionality that we have in sometimes, the idea that, well, we'll build one building and it can do a whole lot of things for us, that is not consistent with a theology of beauty and a Catholic theology of a church.
Right. The whole tradition of the church, up to and including the documents of Vatican II, speak of the church building and its art as something set apart. In fact, the word sacred means set apart. So it's not every day. You don't just take out the pews and have the kids play basketball there in the school the next day. It's set apart. It's reserved and preserved for the worship of God. And that's just the beginning level. And then when you go in it and you understand that you're leaving time and space, that's one of the key things. When you go into a beautiful church, whether it's medieval or Renaissance or early Christian, or even one designed yesterday, the notion is that the inside of the church is to leave the earth, the fallen world. You go into the rendition of the restored world, where there's no crime, there's no road rage, there's no garbage. There's just everyone praising God in one whole unity. And so you leave time and you leave space. And that's a very Jewish tradition, actually. The Romans had a cyclical sense of time that kind of went around and around in a circle. The Jews had a sense that to go into the temple was to be in eternity while you are in time, no beginning, no end. And if a church makes you realize that, then that is actually a participation in the realities of heaven.
It's a heavy lift, though. That's a lot of work for a building to do.
It is, in a way, but you know, we've been doing it for 2,000 years. We have lots of examples. You can do it in a small church with a small budget. You can do it in a great church with a cathedral budget. But if you know what you're doing, then you can do it well.
Great. That was a clip from Dennis McNamara from Catholic Answers Live. Welcome back to the Fall Spirit Drive here for St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm the guest host. My name's Patrick Schroyer, and our guest is Father Kevin Letts from down at St. Mary's.
Glad to be here, and I enjoyed that last little segment very much.
Yeah, if you just joined us, we were just talking. Father Letts is the pastor at St. Mary's, and if you paid any attention here in Columbus, Ohio, St. Mary's in German Village, one of the great classic architectural just beautiful, but they had some difficulty. How old is St. Mary's?
The building went up in 1868.
1868. I mean, think about that time. It's amazing. And they're in the process of redoing it. And Father was talking about the paintings on the ceilings. But that's a classic church, great church to talk about what Dennis McNamara was just speaking about.
Very much so. You know, as I was listening to that, I was thinking of the words of Bishop Hettinger, who was the auxiliary bishop of Columbus for many, many years. He used to always say a church is a silent grace. It's a silent witness. Just seeing it stand there was always a reminder to you not to forget God. But once you go in, it's supposed to be heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. And that's why beauty inside the church is a very appropriate thing. Eastern churches were much more conscious of that, with the use of gold and the creation of the angelic beings on the domes and things like that, or the Greek church downtown with the 24 ancestors of Christ on the ceiling. It's an incredible work. Somebody should see that sometime and check it out. And that's one of the things. When you go into a church, the very building should speak to you. It should help you to pray. people say, well, we don't want all that clutter because it distracts. No, if it's not clutter. If it's art and it's focused correctly, it leads you to the altar.
Mm-hmm.
The station should be beautiful because they remind you of the sacrifice of Christ, which reminds you of the sacrifice of the cross, the sacrifice of the Mass. Everything, in a certain sense, you should be able to draw a line from it, from that piece of art to the altar, and you should be able to see the sense that it makes.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You're listening to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. We're at the Fall Spirit Drive. We welcome you to come and be a sustaining member of $20 a month or more by calling 614-459-4820. You can also go to the web at stgabrielradio.com. Yeah, we're talking about the Catholic architecture. I go to Miraculous Metal. It's a small parish. You've been there. I know you've come out to confessions, and Father Lutz was here, and he's a classmate of Father Coleman, our pastor, and was with Father Pandolfi. But Miraculous Metal was interesting, and it was one I found out from the architect. It's one of the first million-dollar churches, and Father Fuller designed it, and we have this beautiful stone all out. The diocese tried to convince him, why don't we just do stucco? but Father Fuller said, this is what I got from the architect, because he had passed by the time. He insisted because the stone, and you know what I'm talking about, different shapes, different colors, representing all of us, all held together by the mortar of faith. And it's beautiful. And then when I look up, I notice, you know, there's 12 beams. There's 12 panels. It's amazing when you start looking real close at what really went into this church. It's made of steel and stone and marble and carpet and wood and glass. It's amazing when you take a time. Go in your church. That's what I'm asking you. When you go in your next church, just sit and look around and look for the symbolism. Sometimes it just goes right by you without...
Very much so. You can, especially in an older church, you can count, for instance, the number of arches or windows. Nothing was ever because they said, oh, I like five windows or I like seven arches. There was always a symbolism behind that, referring to the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, the seven sacraments, whatever it may be. So there were always certain themes, and you always found references to the Trinity and to other mysteries, depending on what the name of the church was as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my wife and I do a prayer group at Christ the King on Sunday nights from 5 to 7. And it's interesting, that parish is the same way. It's shaped like a crown. I didn't realize Chris, the custodian there, our kids went there for a while. He explained to me the stained glass is actually the creed.
Yes.
You've got the Christ being ascended, the big bronze. It's by the daily mass altar. He goes, but the idea is when you stand at the big main entrance, there's this piece of art that hangs over the altar. That represents the cloud and Christ raising up through. It was interesting, all the symbolisms that was in this that I had overlooked for all those years until he points it out. It was just beautiful architecture. All, like you said, all had a purpose and a meaning.
Just today, the lady that came to the museum, she asked me about a cross that she had seen that troubled her because it had an image of Christ and at the bottom was a skull and crossbones.
Mm.
She said, that just looks so creepy to me. Ah, I said, wait. I said, that's Adam. There's a legend that the bones of Adam were buried on that hill, which is called the place of the skull.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, some of the early Jewish converts said that the cross of Christ was planted in the spot where Adam was buried. Again, there's nothing to document that. It's simply what you'd call a pious thought that came from those early Christians.
Wow.
But they said that since death came from Adam, new life by perfect obedience in Christ came through him.
Wow.
So the symbolism of the skull and crossbones theologically makes a great deal of sense, whether there's any truth to the story or not. Theologically, it's a very beautiful image.
It is. It is. We've got Meg came in for an angel update. Is that correct? Are you ready? Ready to go? Meg, who's a youth? You're the youth minister at St. Michael's, correct?
I am the youth minister at St. Michael, and I'll tell you what, that angel music doesn't get old. If I could walk into a room and that angel music would go off, that would be great. So, Lord, make it happen. We want to give you an update here on St. Gabriel Radio of our donors that have called in and decided to make gifts to the station. We want to thank Mike and Peggy from St. Mary's in German Village. When asked what they like best about St. Gabriel Radio, they said all the programs. So thank you, Mike and Peggy, for your one-time gift. We also want to thank Lynn from Springfield, Lynn is now a bronze sustaining member, and that is a monthly sustaining membership here at St. Gabriel Radio. So we want to thank you, Lynn, so much for your gift. I just want to encourage any listeners out there that no gift is too small. No gift is too small. So if you are thinking about calling in and donating, please just give us a call. And I ask the Lord would inspire your heart to give to St. Gabriel Radio today. You can call at 614-459-4820. Again, that number is 614-459-4820. Thank you again.
Great. Thank you, Meg. And a shout out there to Lynn in Springfield. I grew up in Springfield, went to Springfield Catholic High School and St. Joe's, which is, again, is one of those old 100-year-old churches. Beautiful architecture.
Place.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you've been hearing some testimonies of what St. Gabriel Catholic Radio has meant to some of the listeners. So we have a guest with us, Marian Prentice, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And you're from Church of the Resurrection.
Yes, I am.
Which is in
New Albany.
Okay.
Ohio.
And you came in the church in 2011?
Yes.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, how about giving us some feedback of what brought you in the church? How has St. Gabriel Catholic Radio affected you?
All right. Well, Catholic Radio has affected me greatly in my journey. I actually started around 2007, 2008. Just hungering for beauty and reverence in my worship that I felt was missing. And so I began reading and I began surfing the TV to see if I could find something that would be of help. And I first came across EWTN. I began to watch that. And then pretty soon I was thinking, well, there's got to be a Catholic radio station. If there's Protestant ones, there's got to be Catholic ones. So I started surfing AM radio and I found 820 and I never left. I mean, now it's a permanent spot on my car radio and in my home radio. But through Catholic radio, I began to learn how to think Catholic and to read Catholic and to be apprised of websites and books and authors. I read about 45 or so books before I actually began RCIA, because I had a very wonderful Protestant foundation, and I've loved God all my life. I can't remember not loving him and serving him all my life, but I knew there was more, and Catholic radio has helped me learn, helped me study, helped me think critically, and helped me put on a Catholic lens as I read scripture and as I listen to sermons and now homilies, different word, different language.
Different length.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. And as I age, that shorter length is much appreciated. Yes, very much. So I love Catholic radio. I continue to listen on a regular basis and continue to learn and continue to go deeper in my faith, and I'm very grateful.
Well, how did you come across? You said you began to surf. How did you come across AM 820, St. Gabriel Radio?
I was just channel surfing and turned on the AM first. I was going to go to FM if nothing was on AM, and I found 820, and it sounded Catholic. And then I thought, that sounds like something that I don't always understand. But then when, you know, the call letters were given and it was St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, then I went, aha, so I found it.
Do you remember the program?
I do not.
Okay.
No.
Some people can do that. Yeah. You'll say, I was driving along, it was November 14th at 3:30, and I turned it on, and Father across. I'm the same way as you go.
Sure.
You know, I don't remember. I just know it struck me. You
yep.
know?
It just struck me because there were words I didn't understand. Yeah. So I knew it had to be Catholic.
Oh, good, good. And what would you say? So you're out at Resurrection in New Albany. What do you want to say to the people listening about, and you'd say you never turned it off. How do you encourage them to go deeper and listen more?
Well, what I would say is in order to grow in your faith, Catholic radio is the way to do that. One of the things I said, I never left my RCIA, actually, once I started. I started in 2010, came into the church 2011, and I'm still there. I'm actually co-directing now for the fourth year. And AM 820 is on my resource page that we hand out to our students. So my challenge would be to all of you who have completed RCIA, you are graduates and now in the Catholic faith and a Catholic church to support Catholic radio, because it is a great tool for evangelization. It's a great tool for education. Mm-hmm. It gave me lots of book ideas and author ideas and websites that I'm continuing to read. I'm actually reading about 17 books at the moment. Don't ask me what the titles are or what I'm learning from each of them. It's all kind of rolling around in there. but I'm continuing to learn. And so if you would call 614-459-4820 to pledge, that would just be a wonderful thing to do.
Great. Well, thank you. You're listening to Marian Prentice from Church of the Resurrection, who came into the church. You're Protestant most of your life, but you came in the church in 2011.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And thanks for the kind
thank
words
you.
About
St.
Gabriel Catholic Radio. Thank you. Again, I'm your guest host. I'm Patrick Schroyer. And our guest here is Father Kevin Less from St. Mary's, and he runs the church museum, right? What's the official title
of that? Jubilee Museum.
The Jubilee Museum. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll come back shortly. Now's your opportunity to pick up the phone and call 614-459-4820. Thank you.
This is Father Larry Richards, host of EWTN Open Line Thursday. Catholic radio is one of the most important realities we have in the world today because it brings people to Jesus, and we need to bring people to Jesus. And thanks to EWTN, our program is provided free of charge. But there are many other expenses that must be paid locally to keep it on the air. When you pledge your support, you make it possible for this station to carry out programs like EWTN Open Line every day. No matter the amount, your gift works to make a difference for you, for others, and for the future of Catholic radio. Prayerfully consider making a gift right now.
I Am Only Mary, the novel, is a meditation on the life of Mary by Columbus author Tom Atzberger. Available on Amazon.com. That's I Am Only Mary on Amazon.com.
Hi, everybody. I'm Douglas Sells. Join us Friday nights for high school football coverage on AM 820. We kick it off at 6 when Ryan Baker and I visit with Central Ohio's players and coaches on the Catholic High School Football Preview Show.
Then join me, Randy Reinhart, and Larry Wolf at 7 from Jack Ryan Field for the CCL Game of the Week, brought to you by the Bob Boyd Auto Family. We get our first glimpse this season of the two-time defending state champion Bishop Hartley Hawks as they take on the Wolves of Worthington Kilbourne. It's OCC and CCL as Hartley plays host to Kilbourne Friday night at 7.
And after the game, be sure to join myself, Ryan Baker, and Lee Cochran for scores from all over Central Ohio with the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Rev Local Digital Marketing.
That's the preview show at 6 o'clock, the Catholic High School Game of the Week at 7, and the AM 820 Scoreboard Show after the game, Friday nights on AM 820.
Kurtz Brothers Mulch and Soils is excited to celebrate their 25th anniversary by offering 25% off premium bulk and bagged mulch, topsoil, and leaf compost orders. Use code KB25 at kbcolumbus.com or mention it to get the 25% off money-saving offer. Kurtz Brothers Mulch and Soils also accepts yard waste for recycling at all four locations. That's Kurtz Brothers Mulch and Soils, celebrating 25 years in Columbus. Call 614-43-MULCH or kbcolumbus.com.
My name is Attorney Ed Malik of the law firm of Malik & Malik. We are a family law firm with family values. I am proud to practice law together with my three sons, Kip, Douglas, and James. Our entire family has attended DeSales, Westerville North, or St. Charles High Schools. It would be Malik & Malik's privilege to discuss with you work-related injuries and auto crash injuries. Thank you. Protecting you since 1972.
Fortner Upholstering, family-owned and operated, providing quality craftsmanship and custom-ordered furniture. Online at fortnerinc.com.
Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 is a nonprofit lay organization. We rely on listeners like you for a large share of our support. It takes just a dollar a minute to bring faithful Catholic teaching to our listeners. By supporting us this week, you keep programs such as Morning Glory and Father John Ricardo on the air. I encourage you to stand up for the truth with your generous financial support. Call 614-459-4820 or go online at stgabrielradio.com.
It's a good day.
Welcome back to the Fall Spirit Drive at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm your guest host, Patrick Troyer, and joining me is Father Kevin Lutz.
I'm sitting here, and I'm also waiting for somebody in Marysville to call Allison, my old student, who always calls in during this, and she's in Marysville. She's an attorney, so pull her out of court and tell her to call in and pledge.
Or you'll be in contempt, right?
That's right. You'll be in contempt.
You know, that's an interesting thing, because one of the things you hear recurring over these 30 hours is to make a donation in support of a memory or in honor of somebody, you know, a former student, a former teacher, a former priest, a military or first responder, somebody who passed the faith on to you. You know, I was fortunate to grow up in a family that was very strong in the faith. And my Irish grandma, Grandma Kenny, there was no question what we were doing. My mom, there was no question. Mass came, we went to Catholic schools, and that's how it was. But what a great way to honor someone who was instrumental in you growing in your faith and loving the faith than to call and make a pledge, particularly as a sustaining member, which is $20 a month or more, or as Meg says, anything. Look, I tell people, I've been out there, and I know what the real world's like, and I've told you I've gone from making a lot of money to not making a lot of money, and what was it Sinatra said, and I've been both, and rich is better. But you could always make a contribution. Maybe it's a one-time. Maybe you can't be sustaining, but don't hold that back. If this is what's done something for you, make that contribution at 614-459-4820.
One thing you'll see if you come to the Jubilee Museum, we have the widow's mite there. You might remember the story where our Blessed Lord was in the temple and this little widow came in and dropped in two small copper coins. We don't have the actual ones, but that's a very common coin, and they still find them because they were the pennies of the day. People would collect them in jars, bury them. Many times they were forgotten. And even today when they excavate or dig, they'll often find one of these old jars, so the coins are not that valuable. But when you look at that and think, that's really what built the church. The church wasn't built by some big bequest. Mm-hmm. It was built by countless little coins. So when you think your gift might be too small, you're almost embarrassed to say, I'm just going to pledge a little bit. Don't be embarrassed about that. God will multiply the goodness of it, and he will make it prosper. The church, I always tell people, was built out of two small coins. The rest was surplus.
You know, Father Coleman always says, you just got to do your part. Whatever that part is, and whatever the means you have to do that with. There are some special gifts, though, for those that are new or upgraded sustaining members. You get to receive the Magnificat prayer book, Breaking Open the Bible. And for leadership gifts, a leadership gift is a gift of $1,000 or more. And you receive the Magnificat book, Breaking Open the Bible, and the new Heaven Starts Now, the new book by Father John Ricardo. So those are a couple of gifts that come on by making a phone call to 614-459-4820. We do have Meg. I'm going to get you on here if you don't mind, because you deal with the youth. I just seemed a whole lot of stuff going on with the youth being inspired in the Catholic faith. Do I just have special lenses on, or is it really happening out there?
You may have special lenses on, but it is true. The Lord is inspiring the young people of, especially Columbus today, inspiring them to follow him in a more radical way, in a deeper way. And I am just so grateful to be a part of the work that the Lord is doing here in Columbus. So,
yeah, a lot of great stuff here. Matter of fact, I know some of the things that goes on here at St. Gabriel Radio is some of the new things is that the Encounter program with Dan Demite and Patrick Rice. A lot of youth. I have a high school senior son. He's a really good athlete, three-sport, just a great kid, going to the Encounter School for prayer because he wanted to. It's amazing to see the number of youth that are really drawn and doing it. But that's a program that is on here, and it's the first St. Gabriel produced program that's being aired on all EWTN networks worldwide. and it's coming from right here. And that's mm-hmm. part of what your support for St. Gabriel Catholic Radio here in Columbus is all about. So it's an opportunity to stand up your faith, be part of this community, and support us, and because we can all do something. Mm-hmm. And you can help by calling 614-459-4820. Sponsor a minute. It's a dollar a minute, really, to keep everything. Sponsor some time. So it makes it, no gift is too small. And as I understand, no gift is too big. Is am I right? You can put something with a bunch of zeros in it?
We're going to cap it at $3 billion.
$3 billion. Okay. That's per Father Lutz, okay?
Too much paperwork above that.
Anything else?
No, seriously, if you have that in mind, please go ahead and go.
Father, do you have any other feedback? We were discussing, before we get into the next clip, we were talking about Catholic architecture and a whole bunch of things.
I want to share something interesting with you. You know, for 16 years, I was at Holy Family. Mm-hmm. The altar there was a big, high, beautiful Gothic altar. And one time, and not infrequently, we'd have drug addicts wandering off the streets. We fed them in the soup kitchen. They'd come in and go to Mass. This one guy sat in the back row, and he was probably a little bit high. But he was looking at the altar, just so quizzical. And I said, "Everything okay?" And he goes, "What is that?" And I wasn't sure what he meant. I said, he goes, "That big white thing." I said, "With all the points there and all that?" And he goes, "Yeah." I said, "That's the altar." "Well, what is it?" "Well, that's where we praise God." And then he goes, "Well, it's freaking me out." And I thought that was the weirdest answer. But then I thought, if you go to Mass and it didn't have that effect on you, you haven't been to Mass yet. Because well, look what happens at the Mass. On the very altar, bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ. What could freak you out? That's not our vocabulary. I mean, I never learned phrases like that in the seminary. But, I mean, we should be in awe of the majesty of the and the dignity of the altar.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to go to the next clip. And when you're listening to that, it might be a good time to get out your pen and paper and write some notes. But before we do that, I guess we got our angel update. And here comes that music again. Meg, do you mind sharing with us?
Yeah, we have a gift from our friend John. He's from St. Mary's of Columbus. We want to thank John for his one-time gift, a very generous gift here at St. Gabriel Radio. We want to thank you, John. Again, no gift is too small. If you have that inspiration to participate in our fall drive, please do so. Also, I found out that if you call, you are entered into a drawing. Anyone who calls during the drive is entered to win an Our Lady of Fatima statue, which is a 30-inch statue with a beautiful crown. So if you have a special devotion to Our Lady, especially Our Lady of Fatima, you'll be entered in to win her, a statue of Our Lady. So please call 614-459-4820. Again, that number is 614-459-4820.
And a reminder, for this hour, our goal is to have 6 sustaining members and also to have 14 gifts, and that means calling in with any amount. And by the way, if you are a sustaining member of $20 more a month, it is okay to up that. So if you're so inclined, you may want to take it to $25 or $30 a month. And a leadership gift is one of $1,000. So we want to go to, again, talking about some of the great programs that we have at St. Gabriel Radio. From Catholic Answers Live, we're going to listen to Shane Kapler on the message of salvation.
We know that as we go through the New Testament, there are different passages that people point to saying salvation is by faith, and they like to say it's faith alone. And we Catholics can point to other passages that talk about the necessity of works, the Eucharist, you know, to receive Christ's body and blood. Baptism, of course, is necessary. Well, when we look at Hebrews 10, 19 through 25, I think that this brings together all the elements like no other passage that we find in the New Testament. It starts out, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the heavenly sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh." So the first step in our salvation is Jesus' life offered to the Father in the power of the Spirit. That's what merits salvation for the human race. And the author goes on, "Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." So we're united to Christ. And we first receive salvation through the free gifts, absolutely free, of faith and baptism. The author continues, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another." And so salvation grows in us as Jesus' life grows in us through grace-filled works, active membership in his body, and participation in the church's Eucharist and sacramental life. We have to keep meeting together. And finally, the author concludes, he says, "But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So we do this, we live this life until we are united with Jesus in heaven, and then share his bodily resurrection on the last day. And that's final salvation. So, yeah, Jerry, that's this one passage for me. I think that is the clearest presentation and plan here in the New Testament. I remember a gentleman on Facebook about a year ago was asking me to give him a verse that was the Catholic plan of salvation. When I shared this with him, he just came back with, "Well, I can see why you'd go there." And that's pretty much where the conversation ended.
Well, and before we get our first break here, I think I misspoke. I said chapter 5 of Hebrews. I should have meant chapter 5 of your book, which is the one that deals on the communion of saints. It's chapter 12, is that right, of Hebrews that really has this beautiful exposition of who our brothers and sisters are in the faith, the saints?
Yes, sir. Chapters 11 and 12, that's where I really focus in the book on unpacking the communion of saints.
All right. Well, give us a 60-second snapshot of why that's important to us, why you think the author to the Hebrews put all of that in there, and what benefit do we derive from that today? Before we go into the break, I just want to kind of tease people with that. We can talk about more on the other side.
Okay. Well, he's writing to Jewish Christians who've been ostracized from the temple, the synagogue, and from their families because of their faith in Christ. And he points out to them in chapter 11, what people call the Faith Hall of Fame, how it's been par for the course, these difficulties with God's people from the beginning. And he calls to mind all these great heroes of faith, Noah, Abraham, David, Rahab, how God spoke to them and they acted and they saw deliverance because of that. And so he encourages us. He tells us that because we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, all these Old Testament saints who've entered into God's cloud of glory in heaven, they invisibly surround us and they root us on and they long for our salvation. And then in chapter 12, it goes on to talk about how when we draw near to the Father in prayer, we're drawing near not to the temple in Jerusalem that was just an image of heaven, a blueprint of it. We enter in spirit into heaven itself with the Lord Jesus. And as we approach the Father's throne, we don't just find there the Lord Jesus and the angels, but the spirits of just men made perfect. That's the communion of saints. And in a nutshell, it's important to us because these brothers and sisters, they've already won the battle. They encourage us. But also, as we'll see after the break, they participate in Christ's priestly intercession for the other members of the body for us here on earth. So in a nutshell, that's what I'm seeing in the Epistle to the Hebrews for us.
Great. Welcome back to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio's Fall Spirit Drive. I'm the guest host. My name is Patrick Schroyer, and our guest here is Father Kevin Lutz from St. Mary's in German Village, and he also, as you probably know him, from the Jubilee Museum. Okay. Chapter 11, Salvation, Saints Hall of Fame. I love that phrase.
Very much. You know, that's one of the most common questions. People come up to you and say, "Are you saved?" As though it's a one-time deal, and it cannot be revoked. Many years ago, I went to the Veritas Forum at The Ohio State University, and there was a great debate between two Protestant ministers. Both of them had run these large mega-type churches, and both of them had been sincere men. One still was a believer. The other had lost his faith. So during the break, I was sitting next to a group of college students, and my collar made me a bit conspicuous, but I said, "Do you believe in once saved, always saved?" They said, "Oh, yes, it's in the Bible." I said, "Well, you must be very happy tonight." They said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, the man up there that's denying Christ, told us that he did make a genuine profession of faith when he was 13. He was in the ministry. He believed. He was serious about it. He wasn't faking. He wasn't in it for profit. But somewhere along the way, he lost his faith. You must be happy to know that up there he's denying Christ. But one day, when he dies, he's going to go straight to heaven. Well, they weren't comfortable with that. I said, well, maybe he was never saved to begin with. I said, well, welcome to the Catholic Church. That's our position, not yours. Because the idea of just once saved, always saved, and you can't lose it, many Protestants don't even accept that. That's hardly a conviction of all Protestants. But the thing is, our salvation is of paramount importance. Mm-hmm. And then comes the question of works. I just got to tell you one funny conversation I had, again, with a man going, how many works do you have to have? And I said, 17. And he just started laughing. I said, no, there's no number. Just faith and works.
Yeah, yeah. That's terrific. You're listening to Father Kevin Lutz, by the way, here at the St. Gabriel False Spirit Drive. I love the phrase talking about the great high priest who knows what it's like to be part of us. I'm sorry, I was distracted. We had an angel update. Meg walked in here. Are you ready for an angel update, Meg? You got handed a sheet. No, I want to also remind you, as you listen to this, 614-459-4820, or you can go to the web at stgabrielradio.com.
Next angel update is from Mary. We want to thank Mary from Holy Family Parish for her generous one-time gift. Thank you so much, Mary. Again, no gift is too small. I want to encourage especially the young people out there where they're like, hey, where do I spend my money? I want to encourage you, young people who are listening, getting off school right now, that your money can be well spent here at St. Gabriel Radio. So as someone who ministers to youth, I know that many times we can place our money in other things, and this is a good spot to invest in, especially with our fall drive going on here. So again, that number is 614-459-4820 if you want to make a one-time gift or become a sustaining member of St. Gabriel Radio. The number is 614-459-4820.
Father Lutz, you were talking about the once saved, always saved. As I remember the scripture, it was Jesus who said, those who endure to the end
will be saved. You have to persevere. It's not just a one-time moment, but from that moment, you must grow in faith, and you must keep up that walk, as it were. And our Lord also talked about, in Matthew 25, other things that are the works that are a sign of what kind of faith is going on. I was hungry, you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink, and so on. These are the ones who are praised by the Lord, but that's faith motivated by the love of God. It's not enough to be motivated just maybe for honor or a photo op or to be seen doing good. There was a nun many years ago working in a leper colony, and there was an American film crew there watching this young American nun cleaning out these hideous wounds and the foul, festering odor of leprosy. And she was doing it very quietly and businesslike. And the one cameraman said to her off record, he goes, sister, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. She looked at him and said, neither would I. You know, you got to have the right motivation. If your motivation is for the love of God, then your works are profitable unto salvation. If they're for your glory or for your fame or for people to revere you in some way, then they profit nothing. In fact, they may be dragging you down.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. You were talking about in the collar. I hear about, because I used to be vice president of sales, what used to be the biggest Christian t-shirt company in the country, and I'd go to the Christian Booksellers Convention, and they'd find out I was Catholic. It was like somebody tied a pork chop around my neck, you know, and everyone, they had to save me. They had to save me.
Poor, benighted man.
Yes. But you, with the collar, do you get approached a lot, and what is the main thing?
All the time. It says, you know, open for business, basically. I went on the Camino last October, and there were several priests, and I, you know, wear what you want. I'm not picking on anybody. Some wore collars, some didn't. I chose to wear a cassock, and I put a sash around just so it wouldn't be tripping on the mountains. It was quite a lot of climbing. Mm-hmm. But I was amazed at how many times people would start walking with me, and they were testing me. Yeah, you know, so what kind of priest are you? Are you a friendly guy? And yeah, blah, blah, blah. What I knew they were going for was, I want to go to confession. I want to see how nice you are. And I can't tell you how many times I heard the confession on the Camino because of the collar.
Really? Oh, that's terrific. You're listening to Father Kevin Lutz, by the way, here on the False Spirit Drive at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. And We just encourage you. We're looking for six sustaining members this hour. We're looking for 14 total gifts, and they can be one-time gifts. And also, I haven't mentioned yet, but business members, which are $50 a month. Again, as a listener, I like to know who I can call for anything I need. Hey, we're going to go ahead and cut out here to our local clip. And while you listen to this, it's going to be Father Harchi from Answering the Call. 614-459-4820. We'll come back at the top of the hour.
Because, yeah, I was certainly not fulfilled doing the radio thing. It was good enough, and I thought, well, okay, maybe if I do this for a few years and then, you know, move up or move to a different radio station or whatever, I'll kind of like it. But there was always that kind of that, you know, first of all, that sort of gentle, like, tug of the priesthood in the back of my mind, thinking, like, okay, I'm not really enjoying this as much as I thought I would. But I don't know what else I want to do. It was like, I'm not really enjoying this, and I still think I, you know, should be a priest or at least try seminary. So, and kind of, you know, thinking like, okay, this radio thing is nice, but maybe I should be doing more. And so that more, I guess, was, I mean, now I know, is like, was the priesthood. But I, yeah, so just kind of, yeah, going back and forth, trying to pray about it.
Well, and like in the words of Father Ty Thompson, you know, why not try that avenue? So, you know, you would go to the Josephinum. You had to do 2 years of pre-theology, and then you'd do that. That went okay, and then the next 4 years in undergrad. This is where people will discern: is this for me or not? So, for your 6 years there, that process, were there any major obstacles? Any, you know, doubts? Maybe this isn't right, or was it just more and more an affirmation with each year?
Yeah, it was certainly, as looking back, there was more and more affirmation each year, but those first couple of years certainly weren't without their struggles. I mean, I kind of knew in the back of my mind I was in the right place, you know, probably doing the right thing, but you're just still, it's a very new thing. And so you're just kind of, you know, wondering, you know, yeah, learning about the life, learning about what it is to be a seminarian, and then, you know, sort of some proximate, you know, preparation for being a priest. So it was certainly more and more confirming each year, but yeah, adjusting to seminary life had its struggles or whatever, especially after, you know, having an apartment in college for a couple years at the end of college and then living on my own for 2 years after that. So now all of a sudden I'm living with 150 other guys and you're not only living together, but praying together and eating together and recreating together and all this stuff. So going to class, you know, the same guys for basically 6 years. I mean, so
that's a big adjustment, especially when you've had that taste of freedom.
Yeah.
Can you describe for us your calling? Calling is something that's so personal for different people. Some people get what I call God's billboards. Other people, and it sounds like this is more in your case, I think the majority of people, it's a much more subtle thing. What was it for you?
Yeah, just gosh, the best way probably to describe it would just be just like a constant, gentle, like, tug, like just little, yeah, like a constant thing that never really went away. Like from like all those years back being, you know, sixth, seventh grade or whatever, you know, altar serving and having that interest and thinking it might be something I'd like to do, being more like in the front of my mind, and then, you know, different times in high school in the front of your mind. And then sometimes in the back of the mind. So, you know, it's just this constant little, like, little tug, little reminders that this is what the Lord is asking me to do. And when that prayer life, you know, deepens and increases and stuff, it becomes a little bit more apparent. But yeah, I just say a constant, gentle, yeah, tugging, yeah, that he can't really shake, I guess.
A St. Gabriel Catholic Radio listener once said that she now sees the world differently. Perhaps seeing the world like God sees it is one of the reasons you listen to AM 820. Well, this week we're asking you to place a value on that, in the form of a financial gift. The amount is up to you, but as you get ready to step forward with your support, please consider how the world would look without St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Call us at 614-459-4820 or go online at stgabrielradio.com.
WVSG, Columbus, Ohio. This is the home for listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Welcome back to the Fall Spirit Drive here at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm the guest host for this next hour. I'm Patrick Schroyer out at Miraculous Metal Parish and highly involved in the Columbus Catholic Renewal. And our guest for this hour, hailing from parts unknown. Oh, I always thought we should have our own walk-in music, you know, an announcement like Jim Buck. They got this boxing. Father Jim Black, he said St. Joan of Arc up in Powell, correct?
Yes.
Great,
yes.
Great. Before we get started, we're just going to ask you to start us all with a prayer.
Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you to send your spirit into all of us as we continue these wonderful efforts to bring the good news to the people of this listening area. Open the hearts of those who will hear what we have to offer. May your spirit fill the